Let us pray. God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. Thou withdraw thyself from me. Lord, whither shall I go? Eternal God, our Father, I come now in the name of Jesus. Say thank you. Thank you for another opportunity to gather together for worship. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to proclaim your word. Thank you, Lord, what you've laid on my heart, what you spoke into my spirit. Lord, what you have for this waiting congregation, you know what we all need. You're able to provide our needs according to your riches and glory. We pray now in the name of Jesus that your spirit would move by the power of your preached word. Hearts that are heavy will be light. Souls that are troubled will be soothed. Minds that are in turmoil will be steady. Lives that are in chaos will be straightened out. In the name of Jesus, we do thank you, Lord. Give you honor, give you glory, and give you praise. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. By way of an announcement, there will be a Forsyth County Union meeting here today. The youth will meet at 1:30 p.m., and the senior missionaries will meet at 3 p.m. here at our church. Those of you who are missionaries, serving as hostesses, please keep that in mind. Certainly giving honor to God for his presence in this place, the move of the Holy Spirit, for the enthusiasm of these preachers and this choir that has serenaded us with the melodious songs of Zion. We do give honor, glory, and praise. Certainly thank God for these, my cleric colleagues who joined me on the rostrum, as well as those who may be in the pew, for the officers, members, visitors, and friends. Grace and peace be unto you all from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. For just a few minutes, I don't want to hold you too long, but I want to call your attention to the passage of Scripture read earlier from the 55th vision of Psalm. Psalm 55, beginning at verse number 1. According to the King James rendering, you'll find these words. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplications. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. The word of God for the people of God. I want to talk for just a few minutes from the subject, wishful thinking. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a bird, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Wishful thinking. The words recorded here in the 55th division of Psalms are commonly attributed by biblical scholars and Old Testament historians to King David, one of Israel's most beloved kings. Hebrew and Jewish historians revere him as the greatest of all of Israel's kings.
Historically, when it comes to his leadership, he stands alone. And they have immortalized King David by placing his star on the national flag. It is David whose reign as King of Israel in biblical hindsight represents to this nation a historical mark of excellence on the pages of Hebrew history. If you look at his life, you will see he was a warrior king whose battlefield exploits are cherished from generation to generation. And any expectation or hope of a Messiah for the Jewish people was and still is measured by the standard set during his kingship. David, you do know, was a man of faith who believed in his God, who trusted in his God, and who looked to his God when he faced trouble. And he had seen God at work in his life while he was keeping his father's sheep. And he told King Saul about how he was able to single-handedly kill a lion and a bear in their defense. It was this David who then took on the Philistine giant Goliath in the name of the living God, and with a single stone from a slingshot was able to defeat this hardened lifelong warrior while other soldiers stood by scared and afraid. This same David had a distinguished military career that led him to face many foreign enemies and forces like the Philistines and the Amalekites. But when the dust cleared, he was left standing victorious. It was David who strategically united the northern and the southern kingdoms into one nation successfully. And sisters and brothers, this marked him as a political as well as a military genius. Y'all do know the story, don't you? Yes, it was David, the king, the politician, the military general, and the victorious warrior. But my sisters and brothers, it is his voice that we hear crying out to God from the pages of our text. It is his voice we hear bemoaning his condition, sharing his woes, talking about his troubles, and petitioning heaven for some help. But in the meantime, he's hoping and wishing he could escape and get away from it all. Oh, that I had wings. When you consider for a brief moment the nature of the Psalms, you will know that they fall in distinct categories. They were either classified as royal hymns or communal hymns or individual songs or communal songs of thanksgiving or individual or community songs of cries and lamentations. This psalm, brothers and sisters, is a personal individual cry from a troubled soul agonizing in despair. And the psalmist begins with four imperatives. First, in this supplication and prayer, you find the writer humbly pleading for an audience with his God. So he writes, "Give ear." And he then prays as if God is nowhere around. So he asks God not to hide himself from his complaint. Y'all have read the story, haven't you? He asks God to come and see about him, and then he makes known the details of his grief, the details of his trouble, and the details of his situation to his Creator. In other words, he tells God all about his troubles. Have you ever done that? Told God about your troubles? I know I sure have. I believe the hymn writer must have knew something about this, and that's why he picked up his pen and wrote the line, "I must tell thee all of my trouble. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves, and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus, because Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. In this prayer, David says his enemies seek his life, and for no reason they hate him. His burdens have caused his heart to ache, and the threat of death hangs over his life sky like a dark and ominous cloud, like some out there today. Fear has caused his tired and weary bones to tremble, and he is overwhelmed by his circumstances. When you get home, read it. Do I have a witness? In the midnight hour, his soul makes the noise of the brokenhearted, the downtrodden, the lonely, the depressed, and the distressed. But my sisters and brothers, in the midst of his prayer, in the midst of his despair, in the midst of his cry, in the midst of his supplication, his petition, and his complaint, there appears to be a momentary departure from the harshness of reality. Do I have a witness here? Perhaps while considering the magnitude of his troubles, the unbearableness of his circumstances, the parameter of his plight, the woefulness of his condition, David wishes that he had wings. Some biblical scholars have speculated that David's grief was because he had been betrayed by one of his closest confidants and personal advisor in the person of Ahithophel, who took side with David's son Absalom during his revolt. Y'all know the story, don't you? Sisters and brothers, there's nothing as painful as being betrayed by close friends or family members. There's nothing as disappointing as being lied on, talked about, put down, beat down, or knocked down by people that say they love you and you can trust them. There is nothing as unsettling as having people you have shared your innermost secrets with, your struggles, your weakness, and your temptations, and then they turn against you. That will sure not make you want to run. Y'all mighty quiet in here. Yes, yes. But I'm here to tell you, David wanted to run, but he could not run fast enough to escape his trouble. So he found himself wishing, if I just had some wings, I could get away. Hey. God is good. David's sisters and brothers no doubt had seen this graceful winged creature fly effortlessly across the trackless Judean sky. Doves appear to be able to move unimpeded, unencumbered, and unhindered in their ability to fly. My sisters and brothers, the National Geography says this bird ranks amongst the fastest flying winged creatures on earth. It possesses the ability to outfly predators, soar above danger, maneuver around obstacles, and escape what sometimes appears like a certain death. Thank you, Lord. One biblical scholar wrote, it would have been more honorable for David to wish he had the strength of an ox to bear his trials than to wish he had wings like a dove. Notice, sisters and brothers, David didn't wish to be a dove. He just wished he had wings like a dove. But sisters and brothers, dove wings could never lift the weight of a troubled human soul agonizing in despair. Dove wings could never deliver us from dangers seen and unseen. Dove wings could never give us peace in the midst of life's storm. Dove wings could never calm our doubts or soothe our fear. And dove wings won't do us any good when we're lying on our sick bed. Do I have a witness here? Yeah. David wanted to get away from all of his troubles, like some of us. When trouble finds its way to our neighborhood, knocks at our door, comes on our job, moves in our houses, moves in our homes, or moves in our heart, we want to get away. Have you ever wished for anything? I know I sure have. As a poor black boy growing up on welfare with 9 other siblings, I wish things were better. I wish we had more resources, more clothes, more space than a 2-bedroom apartment. I wish I did not have to move so much. I wish my father was there when I grew up. I wish my mother could have lived longer than 45 years. As a young boy, when I wanted to grow up, I wanted to grow up and wished I could be like Muhammad Ali. Today, young people wish they could be like Mike, Tiger Woods, like Venus or Serena Williams, like LeBron James, like JC, like Kanye West, or some other famous person, or at least have their money. Some people wish they had better jobs, earned higher salaries, drove newer cars, lived in bigger, better houses. Some parents wish their children listened to their advice, make up their mind what they want to be, make better grades, get an academic scholarship, go off to college, get their own homes, and get out of their house. Some children wish their parents understood them. Will Smith said in his first big rap release, parents just don't understand. Young people wish they were more popular with their peers. They wish they could make the team, the squad, the group, or the club. Or they want to have swag, be iced out, blinging, flossing, or illing. Truth be told, some preachers, some of us wish we could hoop like the late C.L. Franklin or Leo Daniels. Some of us wish we were married while other folk wish they wasn't married. At least not to the person they're married to right now. Someone wished they had never started smoking, never took that first drink. Someone wished they had never made the mistakes they made in life. Some of us wish we could go back in time and do some stuff over again. Am I right about it? Yes. While I'm at it, brothers and sisters, I wish there were no sickness, no racism, no sexism. I wish there were no need for an affirmative action or an equal rights amendment. I wish all preachers got along. I wish there were no jealousy among the clergy. I wish all churches were Christian in their treatment of one another. I wish that everybody who claimed to be saved would live like they are saved. Perhaps someone here today wish they could repair relationship with a mother, father, sister, brother, a daughter, or a son, or a friend. David wished, and all of us have wished for something. I wish life was as easy as some charismatic Christian rhetoric would lead you to believe. Just name it and claim it. I wish children would stop killing children and there were no police brutality, no racial profiling, no AIDS epidemic. I wish young black men and black women were born and were going to college and less of them were going to jail. I wish there was no hunger, no poverty or discrimination. I wish the social and economic playing field were really level and all of our children were going to get a fair break. I wish America was as Christian as it claims to be. And I wish when the founding fathers wrote, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they meant black men and red men. Y'all quiet in here. But sisters and brothers, wishful thinking only serves as an escape mechanism to soothe anguished hearts and to ease troubled minds. Wishful thinking serves as a sedative for troubled souls trying to grapple with the harsh realities of life. Wishful thinking is an emotional antidote for the downtrodden, the homeless, the outcast, the last, the least, and the lost. Yes, sometimes, like David, we wish we had wings like a dove when troubles are all around, when sickness assails these bodies, when friends let us down, when family members turn against us, when opportunities seem to fade, when hope gives way to doubt, when the ghost of past misdeeds trouble our souls, when we got more bills than money to pay, When you find yourself looking back at your faults, your failures, or your shortcomings, all of us wish for something. Am I right about it? But God would have me to tell you that no matter how much we wish for, God does not always grant our wishes or lead us away from our difficulties, our troubles, or the sorrows of life. But in spite of this, there is good news. Because God may not lead you from your struggles or your troubles, but He will lead you through your trials, through your temptations, through your hardships, and through your valleys in life. Yes, God will do that. Perhaps that's why the hymn writer wrote, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It was the Lord who brought me safe thus far, and the Lord will lead me on." You see, God knows something. There is something unique about us encountering our trials, our troubles, and our tribulation. God knows that facing our storms somehow strengthens us and brings about a change in our lives. Yes, a change of heart, a change of mind, a change in your soul, a change in your spirit, and a change that will give God glory. Because after God brings you through, you can say like the songwriter, "You don't know like I know what the Lord had done for me." When God brings you through, you can say like the songwriter, "When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all He done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. Thank God for saving me." When God brings you through, you can say like the psalmist, "If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be?" When God brings you through, you can say like the psalmist, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles." When God brings you up, you can say like the psalmist, "God is a very present help in the time of trouble." Somebody in here can testify that the Lord will bring you through. Anybody want to bring you up? Thank you, Jesus. Well, as I close, I'm reminded of a story about an elderly man in his 80s who walked into a doctor's office one morning about 8 a.m. to have stitches removed from his thumb. He stated that he was in a hurry and he had an appointment at 9 a.m. The nurse took his vital signs and had him take a seat. She saw him watching his watch and decided, since it was not busy with another patient, she would evaluate his wound. She noticed it was well healed, so she talked to one of the doctors, got the needed supplies, and removed the stitches and redressed the wound. While taking care of him, they began to engage in a conversation. The nurse asked him, since he had a doctor's appointment that morning, why was he in such a hurry? The elderly gentleman told her he had needed to get to the nursing home to eat breakfast with his wife. She then asked him how was his wife's health. He told her that she was in a nursing home for a long time and she was suffering with Alzheimer's disease. As they talked, the nurse finished dressing the wound. She asked if his wife would be worried if he got there a little bit late. He replied, "No. She no longer knows who I am, and she hadn't recognized me in over 5 years. The nurse was surprised and asked, "Then you still go there every morning, even though she don't know who you are?" He smiled, patted her on the hand, and said, "She don't know me, but I know her." That's what I want to leave you with. I don't know what you've been wishing for, but I stopped by here to tell you there are some things you don't have to wish for. There are no time machines that would allow us to go back to fix past mistakes. There are no wishing wells, no genies in the bottle, no magic potions or magic spells. There are none of those things. But I stop by here to tell you, there is a God who is Lord of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. There is a God who specializes in making dark, dismal past into bright, hopeful futures. There is a God who said, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened." There is a God who says, "I'll never leave you, nor forsake you." There is a God who turned past failures into present day successes. There is a God who the psalmist says, "His mercy endures forever." There is a God who turns dreary weeping nights into bright joyful mornings. There is a God who can blot out past sins and present us faultless before His presence with exceeding joy. There is a God who said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There is a God who grandmama said, "Sits high and looks low." There is a God who granddaddy said, "That's in mysterious ways, in one that's super fine." There is a God who mama said, "He may not come, but you are what He likes." Say, "He's a doctor in the sick room, he's a lawyer in the courtroom, he's a friend to the friendless, he's bread when you're hungry, when you're thirsty, he's hope in the midst of hopelessness, and he's a way out of no way. Y'all know him, don't you? He's the one who caused the hill rider to pick up his pen and write the word. I was sick and deep in sin, far from the people's shore, very deeply stained within, thinking about no more. But the master of the sea, yeah, the spawn cry, lift up me, now say, am I, come on him, don't you? He's the one who called the hymn writer to write amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I lost my life, but now I'm found. I'm proud, but now I see. I'm not in danger. He's the one that called the psalmist to write weeping. And you're found out. Coming in the morning, y'all know him, don't you? He's the one that called Paul to write, but God showed us His love, that while we were yet in sin, He died. Y'all know him, don't you? He's the one that looked beyond our faults and see it on me. He's the one that picked us up from the ground.
solid ground. He is the one that specializes in opening closed doors, pouring our blessing, forgiving our sin, healing our bodies, lifting our heads, lifting us up, and giving us joy. Long not him, doctor. He is the one. When I'm gonna say you did, he says you don't. He says go forward. When others say laugh, he says first. When others say sit down, he picks us up. Y'all know him, don't you? He's the one that caused the hymn writer, or caused the psalmist to say, I will bless the Lord at all time. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Y'all know him, don't you? Y'all know him? Isn't he all right? Isn't he all right? Won't he make a way for you? Won't he bring you out? Won't he open doors? Won't he heal your body? Won't he do it for you? Wishful thinking. Sisters and brothers, I don't know what you've been wishing for. But if you're not saved, you don't have to wish for salvation.